Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with my friend Bruce McCurdy. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm just wondering why we even bother. Seriously. It's one of these nights where I'm just...
Frustrating. And this was a bad day. I watched the Flames clobber the Coyotes. Then I watched the Stampeders win this Grey Cup right in Edmonton. And then I watch Edmonton Oilers lose to the last place Los Angeles Kings 5-2 out on the West Coast.
Bruce, it was my thought under McClellan that this Oilers team should go with a rookie line of talented attackers. And I just still think this team just, it does not have enough talent on it. It doesn't have enough talented attackers on this team. And that was so evident tonight. They just, you know, they don't have anyone who can score a goal, who could finish off a play, except for Chiasson in tight there using his muscle and guile. But this team, they need some wingers who can score a goal. And it's so frustrating to watch this group of players who are just so bloody inept. And you know, the whole thing with McDavid and Draisaitl on the first line, like Hitchcock's given it a go. Bruce, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. They need these two guys driving their, you know, they worked well together, but they need these two guys driving their lines. So anyway, let's do our two good things, two bad things, and two numbers. You have a good thing?
Yeah, I sure do. I'm going to go with Alex Chiasson, the one competent winger the Oilers seem to have in the lineup these days. Now up to 10 goals on the season, scoring both tallies tonight. Going to the net front, showed really nice hands on that one goal where he kind of pulled it around the netminder, the immortal Calvin Peterson, the latest Dominic Hasek clone to play against the Oilers. But Chiasson solved him twice. Nobody else was able to. And he's now up to 10 on the year, which last year he had 9 goals all season long. So he's really riding the hot stick, and he's playing some pretty good hockey, you know. I mean, he's not a real great possession player, to say the least, but he makes a lot of good plays. Just about every game he makes good plays.
All right. I agree. He had a good game, and he knows where the net is, and he is smart. Mm-hmm. So my good thing, Bruce, is the Oilers had 12 grade-A chances to 9 mm-hmm. for the Kings. And, you know, really, for in the first two periods, the Oilers were the better team. In the second period, they were the much better team. And, you know,
they got one shot and tied it up.
Yeah, and it was a hell of a shot. Like, you can't allow that crossing pass. How many times have we seen that kill the Oilers on the power play? And Kyra and Nuge and Gravel let it happen. And bang, it's in the net. Bruce, it was stupid plays. It was dumb mental breakdowns on every single goal, honestly, that LA got.
I'm going to go there with my bad things.
Yeah, and I'm going to go there with my number. So we're going to dwell on that a little bit. But at least the Oilers did. Like, they had more grade-A chances in the game. They were, which is an indication of a team that's in the game and has a chance to win the game. And certainly the Oilers, I think that's partly why this game is so frustrating. The Oilers had a chance to win this game, but they just could not get a goal. I mean, a lot of the chances came from the so-called identity line, and I know some people don't like that nickname. But that line, they can't score, though. Those guys can't score. They just can't finish off a play. So I can see them having them as your fourth line, Bruce. Mm-hmm. But, man, the Oilers need I just wish they would go with a kid line as your third line and get some talented players, you know, Puljujärvi, Benson, Marody, Yamamoto, whoever you're going to go with.
How about McDavid, Puljujärvi, and Kara as your third line? Because we saw quite a bit of that tonight. We saw quite a bit of that tonight.
Bruce, Kara cannot. He can't score. He just doesn't have the offensive chops. I don't mind Jujhar Kara on your team, but not on a line with Connor McDavid. Sorry.
Well, that was their fourth line. They moved Kara over to the wing. They benched Ty Ratty completely, and they used Puljujärvi and McDavid and Kara. So that's your young. I mean, the oldest guy in the line is Kara, and I think he's 23.
Yeah. So he can't score, though.
Skill line for you. Well, none of them could score tonight, could they?
No. All right. What is your bad thing?
My bad thing was the horrible Oilers defensive zone coverage on all three of the goals against that mattered. I mean, forget about the empty netters, but the, I mean, Dustin Brown basically had two tap-ins from right alone in front of the net. The first one, Kopitar blew by the new guy, Chris Weidman, like he wasn't even there. That was brutal. Mm-hmm. And walked in two-on-one. Nurse tries to cut out the pass, winds up neither going to neither man nor able to take out the pass, and Brown slides at home. The second one, the Oilers actually did fight out and get in front with the lead 2-1. Right after Klefbom took a careless penalty for lobbing the puck over the glass, and they couldn't kill it. And they, I mean, that power play goal, it was pathetic. Like, Brown just went right in between the faceoff circles, and the guy on the boards, Kopitar, just fed it across there, and nobody was covering him at all.
Kyra, that was Nuge.
That was on Nuge. That was a brutal play.
Kyra's in there too, Bruce. Kyra just didn't have position. Kyra could have followed Brown to the slot.
Maybe.
And there was some miscommunication. Nuge thought he might go to the point. And they're both going to the point. Like, why are you going to the point? Like, cover the slot.
When the goal scorer is alone in front of the net, maybe it behooves one of you to cover him.
Yeah, Kyra easily could have followed that player to the slot, Bruce. He was Brown streaked right by him, and Jujar let him go. And then
the third goal, they let Andrei Kopitar get a clear-cut breakaway. I mean, they had the puck in L.A. zone. They were pressing a little bit. Nuge and Kajula were tooling around in the corner, not exactly winning any battles. And eventually they both got caught deep, and L.A. came out with the puck. And Larson is in no man's land, and the pass beats him, and it's a clear breakaway for Andrei Kopitar, the best player on the other team. And he scores the game-winning goal. And, I mean, all three times, like, you can look at that game and say, well, Cam Talbot, you needed a save from him, like we've said so many times. And the other team's goalie did make more saves than Talbot. But in fairness, I mean, that was two pretty proven goal scorers that had three looks at him right from in tight to the net. And they were able to make their shots.
They didn't. Cam Talbot kept him in the game early in the first period. He had a strong start to the game. And I don't have a problem with Cam Talbot. My bad thing is Leeds flows right out of yours. I just thought Kajula's play on that goal was typical of his night. He just lost a stick battle. He didn't get in there with his body. I mean, Kajula might be able to play in the NHL if he hits like crazy, Bruce. But if he's going to just play this kind of finesse game where he's sticking his stick in there, like bench the guy. He was so useless tonight. I just never got the sense at all.
No, he wasn't in the game tonight.
He could have scored. He could have played could have been on a power play the whole game and he wouldn't have scored. He was just so ineffective. I just thought, like, why are you playing this guy? Just bench him. Play Ratty. Play someone else. I've seen enough of Kajula for if he misses, if he gets sent to the minors tomorrow, I'm fine with that. He wasn't the only one, but Spooner wasn't great. But I didn't actually mind Spooner combining with Draisaitl and McDavid. I mean, you're with two fantastic players, of course, but I don't know. That second line, Bruce, will never get it done. Nugent Hopkins, Kajula, and I guess they chase on. I guess they did get a goal.
Off the faceoff.
Kajula is not up to snuff. I don't know.
Anyway, the second line, Nuge is, I mean, he's been getting fed on the flow of play stats tonight. He was on the ice for 13 minutes at evens, 10 shot attempts for, 22 against. Like, that's a serious tilt in the ice, 10 to 22.
Nuge is a good support player, Bruce. He cannot drive a line. He's never driven a line. He can't do it. He can play well with a guy like Hall or McDavid. He works well with a player like that. But if Hitchcock thinks that he's going to, and if anyone thinks that Ryan Nugent Hopkins is going to hold up his own line, that is not going to happen. That is not the kind of player he is. He's a good support player. He keeps the play alive in the offensive end. He's a good hockey player, but he is not a kingpin of a top six line in the NHL.
Well, if he had a pair of top six wingers, he might have a chance. I mean, if you look at the roster, and it's already getting pretty thin on the second line, right? We've had Spooner there the last couple games, Kajula there, Chiasson, who's on a hot roll. But he's nobody's idea of a top six player in the long run. And yet those are the guys that, and you know, Nuge is, I mean, if he's an average second line center, he needs average second line wingers to hold his own, and he just doesn't have them.
Okay, my number, Bruce, is 3. And the game was tied 2-2 with 5 minutes left in the second period. And all of a sudden, Adam Larson just starts to go. He just went haywire, and he's played well this year. But he got caught on 2 pinches at the 5 minute mark and the 2 minute mark of the at the end of the second period. And then, of course, he gets burnt on that goal. So 3 kind of bonehead reads, bad plays by Larson, lost battles. Like, I don't know what got into him. He maybe was just getting anxious to get a goal or try to force things. But, and again, Adam Larson has played very well this year. He's not the problem on the Oilers, but that was a particularly bad spell of play. It's going to happen to any player. But don't let it happen again. Bruce, what was your bad thing?
My bad thing or my number?
Oh, excuse me. My number was 3. Yeah, that was the 3 bad plays by Larson. What's your number?
And my bad thing was the Oilers' defensive coverage. And I may have to bite my tongue clean off, not to mention the refs, but I'm just...
They were rants. They were so horrible. They were just so horrible, the refs. I'm just sick of them. It's just, it's almost like the... When you're in California,
Oilers. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Get ready to be interfered with.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, my number is I have 2 numbers. 8 is one, and 75 is the other one. The 8 is the number of shots on net that Oscar Klefbom had tonight, and the 75 is the number of shots that Oscar Klefbom has had on net this season. 75 shots, David, in 23 games, and for those 75 shots, he has a grand total of 0, count them, 0 goals.
His eyes up when he shoots, Bruce? Is he looking?
I honestly don't know.
That's what I think, is his head is down when he's shooting. The difference between Larson, like when Larson has the puck, his eyes are up. He's looking. When Klefbom's shooting and passing, his eyes are down too often. That's what I would say. Let's watch for it. Let's watch the next little while when he shoots, see what we see. But that's my impression of him, kind of this head down shooter and driving it as hard as he can and not scoring.
On the bright side, he had 8 shots tonight. He had as many shots as the top 2 forwards combined, McDavid and Brodziak, each had 4. And Klefbom had 8. But if that's your play, is to set up Oscar for a shot, and the guy can never, ever beat a goalie, then maybe it's time to look for a different play. I don't know. I mean, it's just not working for Oscar.
Isan did score on a rebound shot from Klefbom.
He got a couple of assists. He did take that costly penalty. He had a very active game, blocked 5 shots, had some very good moments, but the total absence of goal scoring from the guy, I mean, they desperately need one now and again. I mean, a night like tonight, it's a standings point if the guy can get a goal.
They should take him off the top power play unit and give Weidman a chance. Let's see what the kid's got, because Klefbom, he's just not that, he's not dangerous out there. He's functional at best.
Well, he can't beat All-Star Hall of Fame NHL goalies like Calvin Peterson. So, I don't know. I'm so frustrated. I mean, Phoenix Copley beat the Oilers. Calvin Peterson. I mean, what is Calvin Peterson? They're number 3? They're number 4 goalie in LA? You know,
Phoenix Copley.
They're a last-place team, and they got 2 goals on the guy. It's just not enough.
I don't remember even who Phoenix Copley was. He for Washington? Who did he play for?
Washington.
Phoenix Copley.
Talbot's current 6-game losing streak includes losses to both Phoenix Copley and Calvin Peterson. And those guys were stars of those 2 games.
I hear Dallas is going to start Warren Skorodensky, and they're pretty confident that they're going to win the game.
I want to see Murray Bannerman back in that, man.
Bruce.
We can beat Murray Bannerman. I know this from experience.
Was it always this brutal to be an Oilers fan, Bruce? Was it always this?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was really good there for a few years there, way, way back in the day. Old geezers like me and probably you can remember them. But man, oh man, it's been so thin on the ground and this constant frustration. I mean, I guess the good news is they come home from California with 3 points out of six.
Yeah, but I think I got
it. Sure feels like they could have got a lot more points than that out of this trip, and it's pretty bitterly disappointing to break even after winning that Sharks game, the toughest team, and then they lost to Anaheim that had four defensemen.
They should have won. They should have won tonight.
Had four defensemen below 50 games played. Anaheim, Oilers got one goal on them, and LA has a goalie that's, you know, like, who is this guy? And they got two goals on him. It's just they're just not able to produce any offense. And
do you agree they should split up McDavid and Drysdale versus, like, to me, that's, we've seen this movie. We saw it all last year. It's the same thing. The Oilers cannot generate a consistent attack when they just stack that line and it doesn't work. I don't like it.
Well, they got stacked against Kopitar and Brown quite a bit tonight. And those guys scored four goals for the Kings, actually counting one of the empty netters. So it's, if they don't win that matchup, they're in deep trouble because nobody else is going to score.
Yeah. Did on the Kings' goals, were the any of the top line?
Defensemen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Willie Desjardins must have done some fancy coaching, but it sure seemed like we saw Kopitar up against Draisaitl a lot. And Leon, he had a very so-so game, some nice passes. You know, the worst thing that happened, maybe, late in the second period, the Oilers shorthanded. Draisaitl holds the puck up. He feeds Klefbom for a shot that, of course, doesn't go in. The rebound goes to Nuge. Both Klefbom and Draisaitl converge on the scoring spot. Nuge feeds the puck over to Draisaitl, and he can't shoot because Klefbom is standing in the way. So he tries to hold on, fumbles the puck, and then wind up getting nothing. If either one of the guys, I think even Klefbom might have scored from there if he'd had the puck alone. Draisaitl would have scored for sure, except for his own guy was in his bloody way.
I think this is the frustration. They were so close to winning that game. You know, they were just right there. They just needed one bounce, and they're going to win that game. And they just can't put it away. They throw away an opportunity. They throw away a chance for 2 points in Anaheim. It's just like this team that just it's so frustrating.
Well, they were on the road. Yeah, they had they had the lead tonight for 2 minutes.
All right, Bruce, let's leave it there. We've said enough. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, don't get me started on the refs. We're just going to talk about the Oilers, and the Oilers weren't good enough, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, LA hit, what, three posts tonight as well as the three goals they got? And Talbot did make some good saves. So defensively, they just weren't. They haven't got it together.
Alrighty. And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.